wonderful blessing through these last 12 months, looking at our Wednesday in the Word. I can't believe we're at our very last Wednesday of the year. And we've had a wonderful time looking at various studies throughout the year. Our theme for the year is, of course, the work of God's hand. And we've been looking at God's work in our lives from the book from the books of the Bible, and from the very beginning in the month of January, we looked at God's work through His Word. If you remember, we looked at how to study the Bible and proper techniques and how to be a good student of the Word of God. And then we looked at God's work in creation, and we looked at the battle for the beginning, God's work to help us grow in March. We looked at God's work through trials and the difficulties of our life, God's work in this world, and how God is at work in this world. God's work through His church and the importance of the local church. God's work through prayer and the importance of prayer. We took some time and studied through salvation and what a Bible salvation is and God's work in salvation. We looked at God's work done through us, and God saved us, and then He fills us with His Spirit, He indwells us, and then He works through us. And then we looked at God's work by His grace and the grace of God in our life each and every day. And then we looked at the mystery of God's work and God's way. And we looked at the rapture, and we looked at the church and how it is defined in the Bible as a mystery but revealed in these last days. And then in the month of December, we followed up with the work of God's nativity. And that's how we're going to end our Wednesday in the Word tonight. Luke chapter 2, and notice what the Bible says in verse 25 together. Luke chapter 2, and notice what the Bible says in verse 25. I'm excited about our Wednesday in the Word for 2023, and we have some wonderful themes that we're going to look at throughout the year that I just know will be a blessing and a help to you. And we're also going to implement on our Wednesday Bible study is every time there's 5 weeks in a month, the last week we're going to have just an all-prayer meeting. And so no preaching, we're just going to spend the time praying. And so I'm looking forward to what God has for our church and our life in the new year. Verse 25, the Bible says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Let's pray together. Lord, we pray as we conclude our Wednesday in the Word theme, Lord, I pray you would help us to consider once again this Christmas season and everything it represents. We thank you, Lord, for revealing to us in your Word this man and his faith that he had. And I pray, Lord, you would help us to learn important lessons about the Christian life and about our own faith through Simeon's testimony. And so, Lord, I pray your blessing upon our study tonight. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. A story is told of an actress, Helen Hayes. She was cooking her very first Christmas dinner. After several years of marriage, she decided to try and to cook for her family on Christmas Day. She sat her husband and her son down, and she said this, "In a moment, I'm going to bring out dinner, and it may not come out exactly as you like. And if it doesn't look good, I don't want you to say a thing. I just want you to get up from the table, and we'll all go to the nearest restaurant together." A few moments later, Helen walked into the dining room with her turkey. Her husband and her son were already standing with their coats and hats on. You know, our expectation controls our conduct. Our expectations control our conduct. There have been lots of people that have gotten upset, or lots of people who have faced disappointment because their expectations weren't met. But I want to remind you tonight that when we place our expectations in God, we will never be disappointed. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6 that Christ is the chief cornerstone, and when we put our trust and faith in him, we will never be confounded. We will never face disappointment, or we will never face fear if we trust in the Lord. Now today we're going to learn about a man whose faith was in the coming Messiah. His faith was looking or expecting for the Savior to come, the Messiah to come. And this expectation changed the way that Simeon lived his life. Now, we understand what Christmas is all about, and we've beaten this drum over and over again over these last Sundays and Wednesdays of what Christmas is, and we understand it's the incarnation. It's God becoming a man and coming to us. And by coming to us, God revealed to us through his Son his compassion and his love. And the Bible teaches us that Simeon was waiting for the Savior. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 9, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And Simeon was waiting for that Savior. And Simeon was waiting for the Messiah. In John 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God became flesh and dwelt among us." In John 1, verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And so we notice how Simeon is introduced to this expectation of his heart. There was a promise that he would not experience death until he saw the Messiah, until he saw the Savior, the Lord's Christ, the Lord's anointed one. And so he had this expectation. He was waiting for Jesus. And so we observe in Luke chapter 2 how he finally met the Savior. Joseph and Mary, who at first were startled by the announcement of the angel Gabriel, are now, there's no doubt, rejoicing of the birth of Jesus Christ. And they're rejoicing at the presence of their son and their Lord, their Savior. And so on the 41st day, after a woman had given birth to a male child, the parents were to take that child to the temple. And the Bible says this in Leviticus chapter 12 and verse 6, "And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled, for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb for the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon and a turtle or a turtle dove, or a sin offering unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation unto the priest, who shall offer it before the Lord and make an atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law for her that hath borne a male or a female. And it was upon this visit to the temple that Mary and Joseph met Simeon. And Simeon is the person of the Christmas story that I believe we could all learn from, and his expectation for the Messiah, the Savior of the world. We see, first of all, in our text, there's no doubt about it, that we notice the patience of Simeon. The patience of Simeon. This is a time of the year, as we've gone through Christmas, that, you know, patience is a virtue. And for many people, patience run low. I heard someone wrote this about their household or their marriage around the Christmas season. They said, "We live in a two-story house. I have my story and she has her story." And you know, for a lot of people, that's the case. I mean, tensions are high and patience is low. And yet the Bible teaches us that there was a remnant of believing Jews that were waiting for the Redeemer. There was a remnant of Jews that was waiting for the Messiah, the Savior. Luke chapter 2, verse 38, "And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for the redemption in Israel." There was this expectation, this remnant of Jews that was expecting, that were waiting for the Messiah. And Simeon and Anna were among them. Now, we don't know how old Simeon was. We would assume, probably, that he was elderly. But he was waiting for the birth of Jesus. And his expectation was that God would keep his promise. And the Bible says that the Spirit both taught him and led him. And he was right there when Mary and Joseph came with their baby. And so I think when we think of the patience of Simeon, we also understand tonight that he had patience to wait for the Messiah. Now the Bible says here in our text that they were waiting for the consolation. And what that means, that expression there, the consolation, it means that he was waiting for the Messiah, that Simeon was waiting for God's promise, God's anointed one, for God to send the deliverer. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ." And as Simeon had an expectation that the Lord would come, we have an expectation that he's coming again. We ought to have the expectation that he's coming again. And this expectation that Simeon had, it changed his life. He was a devout man. He was a just man. He lived a particular life because of the expectation of his heart. But this patience of Simeon was not only in the waiting for the Messiah, but it was also in the believing of the promise of God. In verse 26, it says, "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." And so the Spirit of God impressed upon his heart that he would not die until he held the Savior in his arms. He would not die until he saw the sent one, the appointed one, the anointed one, the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah. And so the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that he waited. He waited. I also want to remind you tonight, as we think of connecting principles for our life, that we also receive promises from the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And we know that the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible, and and we have in the Word of God precious promises for our life each and every day. And Simeon lived his life according to that promise. And by the way, we are to live our life according to the Word of God. But also we see that Simeon had the patience to walk in the Spirit. In verse 27 of our text, notice what the Bible says, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. Some have suggested that he was translated, that all of a sudden he just appeared in the temple. I don't think that's what the phrase is talking about. I think the idea there of 27 is that Simeon was guided by the Spirit of God. It was pressed upon his heart at this particular time that he needed to go to the temple. And when he came to the temple, the Bible says that Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus to the temple at that time when Simeon was there. And Simeon was led and was guided by the Spirit of God, which is so important for our life today, to be led by the Spirit of God. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 16, the Bible says, "And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." The Bible says that we are to walk according to the work and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We're to live our life led by the Spirit of God. We are indwelled by the Spirit. It only makes sense for us to be led by the Spirit. And Simeon was led by the Spirit. He was guided by the Spirit. But we see also in this text the prayer of Simeon. Not only the patience of Simeon, but we notice the prayer of Simeon. Verse 28 of our text, Luke chapter 2. The Bible says, "Then took he up in his arms and blessed God." So here Simeon, he picks up the Lord Jesus in his arms. And he says, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word." I see, first of all, a prayer for departure. Simeon said, "I'm now ready to depart in peace." Jesus had been born, and he said, "I'm ready to die." And friend, I want you to know tonight that no one's ready to die until they meet Jesus. No one's ready to die until they meet Jesus. Paul said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." We see a prayer of departure, but also there's a prayer of dependence. In verse 30, he says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." This is just an incredible declaration in this passage of Scripture. You see, Simeon was depending upon Jesus for salvation. You know, everyone depends on something or someone. I mean, everybody is religious, you could say. Everybody has faith. They're trusting in something. Some people are trusting in their intellect. Other people are trusting in a denomination or their religion. Some people are depending on their family pedigree. Other people are depending on their good works. And yet we see here that Simeon was depending upon Jesus. "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." That is the answer to my problem, to my sin debt. You see, each of us need a personal Savior. In Luke chapter 2, in the Christmas Nativity, this is what the story of Christmas is all about. In verse 11, the Bible says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." A Savior. Jesus is a personal Savior because the wages of our sin is death. It's the gift of God which brings eternal life. And it's through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible teaches us that all of us are sinners. And whether we want to admit it or not, or whether the world wants to admit it or not, we are separated from God and we cannot save ourselves. And the answer for our sin problem is Jesus Christ. He is salvation. That small child that Simeon was holding was salvation. It was the answer to our sin problem. Someone wrote this about a family experience with a Christmas tree during Christmas time. They said it was the second Christmas of our married life, and with newlywed-like impulse, we decided to forego the two-foot-high plastic tree that graced our coffee table the year before. We had found the perfect tree instead. It was wide at the base and came to a perfect point on top with blissful cover. With blissful Christmas cheer, we paid the fee, maneuvered it in our truck, and drove to our apartment. I tried to set it up in the corner, but our perfect tree immediately fell, turning our tree stand into green and red scrap metal. Another tree stand and multiple attempts only brought about the same problem. The tree wouldn't stand up. When I probed into the forest of green needles, I discovered that our perfect tree had a huge flaw. The base of the tree began straight and centered, but in the middle of the trunk, it contorted in pretzel-like twists, bending this way and that way, but coming out straight at the top. It was perfect on the outside, but it was helplessly flawed within. It could never stand on its own. In our not-so-perfect Christmas tree, I saw the story of Christmas. On the outside, we like to show that we have it all together. It is the season to be jolly. But inside, we know differently. We have our hurts, our pains, our disappointments, our anger, our bitterness, and yet worse than all of that is the problem of our soul that the Bible calls sin. No matter how many ornaments we hang on our tree, we knew it would never stand on its own. And no matter how many ornaments we attach to our lives, we can never be right with God on our own. The Christmas story is not about God seeing how nice we were and coming down from heaven to spend some time with us. It's the story of God seeing a twisted, hurting, and sinful people and coming down to die for us. It is a story about love. God came to save us from sin. And while it entailed the joy of a new baby being born, it also ended up with Jesus taking our sins upon himself and dying as our substitute. Simeon was a wonderful man, but Simeon needed a Savior. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 24, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance or the patience of God. We see the prayer of Simeon, and we see his rejoicing for a Savior. But thirdly, I want us to think about the prophecy of Simeon. And notice our text tonight. The Bible says in verse 31, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him, of Jesus. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. I think in this passage of Scripture, verse 32, we notice this is a prophecy of salvation. And Simeon prophesies here that Gentiles and Jews would be saved. And this is the Bible message, by the way. The gospel is for everyone. It's for all people. That's what the angel heralded. It is good news. It is great joy for all people. Every individual, the gospel is for. The Bible says in Romans 10:12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Israelites who would be saved would first fall, they would repent, and then they would rise again. They would come to the Lord Jesus. They would acknowledge him as the Savior. They would acknowledge him as the Messiah. The Bible says that Jesus came unto his own, but his own received him not, but as many as received him. There were those Jews that did look to Jesus as the Messiah, that looked to Jesus as the Savior. But the plan of God to send a Savior in the world was not just for the Jews. It was also for the Gentiles, to be a light to the Gentile people. The Bible says the gospel is for everyone. But this prophecy of salvation was not all a wonderful story, because Simeon speaks here of this prophecy as a prophecy of suffering. Mary had a sorrowful soul on the day of her son's crucifixion. In John chapter 19, in verse 25, the Bible says it this way: now there stood by the cross the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, this would be John, the writer of the gospel, he saith unto his mother, woman, which was an endearing term in those days, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and set and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. This, by the way, is the message of Christmas. It's the reason why he was wrapped in swaddling clothes, grave clothes, and placed in a manger. Jesus came to die. But Simeon said, Mary, this child is going to pierce your heart. The end of the child, the life of the child, at the very end of this child's road is not going to be a happy ending. This child is going to die. This child is going to suffer. He's going to give his life. And yet, there is a wonderful blessing in all of it, because that was the very plan of God, to save us from our sin. Simeon's waiting for the Messiah, his expectation of the Savior, caused him to live a life of meaning. And God help us as we look to another year and we begin 2023. God, help us to have that expectation in our lives. Because his outlook determined his outcome. His outlook determined his outcome. And so what are you looking for as we look to a new year? What's your outlook? God, help us to keep our eyes on the Lord. And I know this, if you keep your eyes on him, you'll never be disappointed. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word. And we're grateful, Lord, for the wonderful messages that we find in your word about Christmas and all it represents. And I pray, Lord, if there's an individual here tonight that is not sure of their salvation, I pray that before they leave tonight that they'll talk to me, that they'll settle that matter. And so, Lord, we're grateful for your word and the